Good morning. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. If you're in worship with us this morning, what a blessed morning to be together. If you came in off of Main Street, had opportunity to be greeted by one of our children serving as an usher, and as you just heard, we have the Midland Saxophone Quartet here with us this morning in worship. So what a great Sunday to be together. Whether you're in the sanctuary, perhaps you're joining us online on the live stream, we're blessed and grateful to have this opportunity to worship together the living God who is our refuge. This morning as we begin, I do have a few announcements along with others. Want to highlight ways to connect with the life here at Midland First United Methodist Church. I'll lead off by reminding you of an announcement in our e-blast, so that's our weekly email, regarding our congregation's participation in Neighboring Week, which is still later in September, September 28th through August 4th. If you're not familiar with Neighboring Week, this is an initiative through the Midland Area Community Foundation to foster a sense of community in our neighborhoods. So like last year, we are putting together treat bags to share with our neighbors. We're going to be assembling a team to go out and drop off treat bags at neighbors of the church. And then additionally, we'll also be sending home treat bags for you. Not to enjoy, but to share with your own neighbors. So we're inviting you to drop off donations of individually wrapped sweet and salty snacks that will be placed in the treat bags. We do ask that you try to refrain from having treats with nuts so that everyone can enjoy them. These donations may be dropped off on the window ledge by the reception area. Thank you for participating in our congregation's efforts to build community around us in our own neighborhoods. With all that, I'm going to hand things off to Pastor Bethany, who has several announcements for us as well. Pastor Bethany?
Indeed. Thank you so much, Pastor Jeremy. My first announcement for us this morning is that we have our last summer youth event tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Youth Center. We'll be having a game night, and we'll have some light snacks. Then I want to remind us of our kickoff celebration, which will be September 7th in worship, and after worship we'll have a time of fellowship together. And I also want to let us know to be on the lookout for the start of different groups happening in September. And so there will be some things in your bulletin and in the e-blast in the next couple of weeks. So just be on the lookout for that. And I believe that's all the announcements I have for us this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Bethany. A lot around the corner. Speaking of which, I'm going to invite forward Nancy Peeler, who serves as our co-leader on our legacy team, to talk about a celebration coming up in September as well. Nancy?
Thank you very much. Good morning, church. On behalf of the legacy team and the celebration team, we would like to share some more information about our special celebration coming up on Sunday, September 21st, as you can see on the screen. This will commemorate a special day in the life of this church. It's the 75th anniversary of the very first service held in this sanctuary. The creation of this new facility, new at the time, was a significant step in faith back in the 1940s, and it really built a legacy and a foundation for everything we do today as a congregation. We will be having a special church service that day, much like the opening service that was held on September 10th of 1950. We are pleased to welcome back some of our past clergy to help us celebrate, and we ask you to invite your friends and family and neighbors, and especially those who have worshiped here in the past, to come back and join us that day. After the service, we invite you to stay for a special luncheon. We will be featuring a chicken dinner, which we chose to honor the hundreds of chicken dinners that were provided by the Women's Society of Christian Service to help fund the new church and pay off the mortgage, a really important part of our church life. We do ask that you RSVP for the luncheon so we can better plan for the meal. The RSVPs will be due by September 15th. If you look in your bulletin, there is a QR code you can use if you're comfortable with that. And starting next week, we will have cards in the pews that you can fill out. And you can also just call the church office to RSVP for the luncheon. After lunch, we will have some activities that share more about the what and why and how and where of this building. And we hope you will join us for that. There will be kind of an I Spy type game appropriate for families or anybody who's interested. We'll offer an architectural tour. And then in September, we hope you'll stop in the library because we are going to be putting some historical materials on display there. So we hope you can stop in and take a look and learn more about the creation of this beautiful building. So we hope you will be able to join us on September 21st and look forward to celebrating with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Thanks for highlighting this important date coming up. And certainly I want to emphasize what Nancy mentioned in terms of inviting people who have been a part of this congregation. You know, the short time that I have been here within the last year, I know that we have members who have moved away but live within reach of the church, and they have been a part of this church's story, this church's legacy, and invite you to reach out to them if you're in contact with them. You might know members in our community who are choosing to worship elsewhere but have had significant time here for which it would be significant to them to be a part of this day. Just encourage you to invite all you might for this important day in our church's life. So thank you to Nancy and to Debbie and to all who are serving on our celebration team. With all of this, there's an awful lot more in your e-blasts and even in your bulletin. Encourage you to go through that.
Please remain standing for the call to worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. If you would, remain standing for our opening hymn, Be Still My Soul, on page 534 in your hymnal or on the screen.
Be still, my soul, God is on your side. There is joy.
You may be seated. You might be familiar with the mission of Midland First. If not, it is helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. And as you heard through the announcements, we do that in so many ways. We do that by gathering with one another in small groups and in Bible study. We do it by celebrating and worship God's goodness to us. One other way that we do that is by going out and sharing this good news that we know. And so at this time in our worship service, I'm going to invite forward those who are part of the upcoming mission trip to Newberry, Michigan in the Upper Peninsula for a time of commissioning. As they are making their way forward, that we might hear a little bit more about the work that they will be doing, I will share with you that they will be partnering with God's Country Community Ministries. And John Horton's here to share a little bit more about what the team might be doing as they receive word about their work, and then we will share a prayer of blessing upon them. John?
Good morning. This is the third year in a row that we will be traveling to Newberry to work with an organization that is based out of there called God's Country Community Ministries. It used to be God's Country Cooperative Parish. And because they are so busy during the spring, summer, and late fall, we typically don't know exactly what we're going to have to do when we get up there. We have to wait until other teams have gotten as far as they have gotten, and then we're kind of the cleanup crew to finish everything. I can tell you that two main things. We will deal with home repairs for the impoverished community, and also on Wednesday they have a huge clothing giveaway, and we'll be prepping some clothing so that that can be given to the people in that area. There's 17 of us that will be traveling. We take our own cooks with us. We do not starve, I can tell you that. We eat very well. So please keep us in your prayers and in your minds and your thoughts as we travel up to Newberry. Thank you.
Thank you, John. You may not know it, but you too are going with them. You don't need to check your calendar if you're available. You don't need to worry that you haven't packed your bags. But the reality is, whenever a team from the church goes out, we go as a congregation. So if you wish and if you're comfortable, I invite you to reach out your hands towards the team as we pray. If not, I invite you to bow your heads where you are. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your good news that we know in our life, the hope that you have spoken into us. We thank you for those among us who are willing and able and available. Make it a priority to go out in your name. So, Lord, we pray your blessings upon them. Yes, in the work that they will do in improving homes and serving others in the community. But certainly, Lord, also bless them, Lord, in their travels and also just the conversations that will take place with those they serve among one another. Lord, may your kingdom come through all of this. We pray this blessing to them in Jesus' name and to those they serve. Amen.
Welcome, everybody. Today, we in Sunday school, we're reflecting on the new school year, and we're also going to dive into our Bible study of the Psalms. We are focusing on Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So we're going to do some exploring today. We will meditate on God's wonders and reflecting on his greatness. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for another beautiful day. Please bless our children as we discuss how your word helps us to navigate life's challenges in Sunday school today. Amen.
Thank you.
And now we come to a time of offering, and as we do so, I would invite you to sign the red friendship pads at the end of your pew and pass them down. We love to get to know our neighbors. We love to get to know who's here, and so I invite you to sign the pads and also take a look and see who's in your pew, and if you don't know who they are, introduce yourself. And likewise, as the ushers come forward, I invite you to reflect on all the ways that God has blessed you.
Thank you.
Lord, we do give you thanks for every way that you have blessed us and for these gifts that we are able to give, because all that we have to give is what you have already given to us. And so, Lord, we do pray that you would bless these gifts and those whom they will benefit for the glory of who you are and your kingdom. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Psalms, Psalm 71, verses 1 through 6. O Lord, I have come to you for protection. Don't let me be disgraced. Save me and rescue me, for you do what is right. Turn your ear to listen to me and set me free. Be my rock of safety, where I can always hide. Give the order to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. My God, rescue me from the power of the wicked, from the clutches of cruel oppressors. O Lord, you alone are my hope. I've trusted you, O Lord, from my childhood. Yes, you have been with me from birth. From my mother's womb, you have cared for me. No wonder I'm always praising you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you will, I invite you to turn to the last inside page of your bulletin this morning. If you're at home and you don't have the bulletin, I invite you to take out a piece of paper. If you're looking at the bulletin at the top, you'll find today's sermon title, Rock of Refuge. And underneath this, you'll find copious or plentiful space for notes. Next, I invite you to take a writing instrument in your hand, a pen, perhaps a pencil you'll see in the pew, might be a crayon that has been stuffed into your pocket by a child. It might be a crayon stuffed in your purse. Or if you are forward-thinking and fashion-forward, it might be in your purse. Oh, mine is here right now. Oh, there just happens to be a crayon and pen inside. All right, so now that we're here, in as large as print as you are comfortable writing, I invite you to write the words, God is, and put a blank underneath that, all right? So in as large print as you are comfortable, you're going to write, God is, and then a blank underneath. And so if I've given you an adequate picture, your page might look something like this, all right? Give our AV team a time to focus on that. Now, for the next minute or so, I'm going to invite you to fill in your blank. In other words, as you sit in the quiet of the sanctuary or the quiet of your home or wherever you happen to be worshiping today, I invite you to reflect on how you might complete this sentence. You might consider this past week. You might consider a daily devotional that you read through recently. Or you might consider an image or word the Holy Spirit places in your mind or in your heart in this very moment. However you choose to go about it, I invite you to complete the sentence. God is blank. God is my all in all. Or God is like a father or a mother. Or God is here. So as Gabrielle begins to play, I invite you to complete your sentence. God is a little while longer. And so if you're comfortable, I'm going to invite you to share what you wrote. You might shout it out so I might hear you up front. You might turn to whoever might be sitting next to you. You might lift it to God this morning. How did you complete your sentence this morning that God is what? I wrote creation. All right. God is with me. God is love. I wrote, God is good.
Healing.
Pardon?
God is a healing source.
God is healing. The reason I invited you to do this is because I wanted to give you the opportunity to consider what portrait would you paint of God? What portrait would you paint of God? The reality is, whatever portrait that we paint of God falls short of who God is, falls short of God's entirety. Indeed, if God's people chose four letters to represent God's name, because who God is so sacred, and because God is expansive beyond all limits, how could we ever capture who God is in any portrait that we might paint? With this, we might even ask, why even try? Why even try to capture who God is? Why even try to capture God's likeness? And to this, I would argue, because God has revealed to us who God is. And envisioning this is worth every moment we might try to envision who God is. Now, turning to Psalm 71, in verses 1 through 6, and really throughout the entirety of this psalm, the psalmist, or the author of this psalm, is painting for us a picture, a portrait of who God is. And what captures my imagination about this psalm is that the author is writing from the perspective of having known God over the course of their life. Through life's triumphs and trials and through all the twists and turns, the psalmist writes in verse 6, "Yes, you, God, have been with me from birth. From my mother's womb, you have cared for me." And then later on in verse 18, they write, "Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me." Have you ever sat with an elder whose perspective you cherish? Because of both their willingness to listen and to learn from you, but also because of the wisdom and perspective that they offer. This is the sense I get when I listen to the 71st Psalm. And so if we return to verses 1 through 6, if we return to this portion of the psalmist's portrait, what we find are brushstrokes that portray God as a refuge, that portray God as a rock, as their trust and as their hope and as their salvation. Coming across John Berquist's commentary on this passage, it's interesting to consider the characteristics of God that this psalmist is drawing out by painting this portrait or giving us this image of God. For example, with God as our refuge, we might imagine God as someone in whom we can seek safety, shelter from harm. And so Berquist has us imagine a nervous child or an anxious child or a frightened child who might tuck themselves behind the legs of their parents, right? God is refuge. Or in God as our trust and hope, that in this image of God we encounter the past, the present, and the future. Berquist writes, if trust looks backward to the past and concludes that the present can improve on that basis, hope looks to the future and imagines a better possibility than anyone who can see, that presents a better possibility than what anyone can see in the present. And so God, as trust and as hope, points to all at the same time, the past, the present, and the future. I find it interesting in imagining God as a rock that this commentator notes that there are several instances in the Old Testament wherein when God is portrayed as a rock, God is being painted as a God who acts. And so this contrasts what many of us might think when we think about a rock, when we associate a boulder in terms of its permanence or of its permanent nature. Instead, the psalmist here might be pointing to a God who acts. For example, in Deuteronomy, Moses says in speaking to God's people, "You neglected the rock who fathered you. You forgot the God who has given you birth." And so the portrait is that of a God who takes action. As we consider all these images of God, perhaps the images we came up with, or perhaps the images presented to us in this psalm, I want to circle back to this idea of God as our refuge. The psalmist writes about this in the first two verses. "In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me." And I want to come back to this because of something that this commentator, seminary professor, author, pastor, notes in his commentary. Berquist notes that the psalmist is a bit abstract here. In other words, we don't know. We don't know if the one praying this psalm, we don't know if the one seeking refuge is deserving of this shame that they are finding rest from. We don't know. All that we know is that they seek refuge and that in the Lord they find the shelter which they sought. And so what if God is our refuge, not because we are deserving, but instead because we've turned to God? What if our God is our refuge? Not because we deserve that shelter or that safety or that rest, but instead because we've turned to God. Back in high school, specifically when I was a freshman, I can remember a time when I poked the bear one too many times. See, I was a bit of a late-blooming freshman. It might surprise you, but I was a bit awkward and a bit scrawny. I had stretched taller than I was broader in that moment. And I can remember aggravating one of the class bullies one time more than I should have. Pushed the limits. And to be honest, I can't remember if I was in the wrong. I was very much a mama's boy back then, still am today. At the same time, I could get stirred pretty easily. So whether or not I was in the wrong in this instance, I don't know. What I do remember is that I tore through the hallways looking for my older brother, who was a senior. And all I can recall vividly now is that I didn't have time to explain to my brother what was happening, why I was being chased, if I was in the wrong. Or deserving of the refuge. All I had time to do was to tuck myself, to find refuge behind my older and broader brother. As I consider all the images of God before us today, I wonder if there's a lesson for us to learn in God as a refuge. I wonder if in our highly partisan times, I wonder if in our times when we are quick to judge, I wonder if in our times when the other or the one who looks or lives or believes differently than ourselves, when that other is often portrayed as someone who should be disparaged or cast aside, I wonder if we as followers of Jesus Christ, I wonder if we as a church are called to be a refuge. I wonder if and how we are being called to embody this very grace of the one who is our rock, the one who is a refuge, the one who we know as our trust and hope. May it be so for us. And it may it be so for all who are running to God, not with all the answers, or not because they might deserve it, but because they come running with a breathless hope in the one who is our salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As we continue in our worship, let us pray. Everlasting God, indeed in this moment, there are many images of you who rest upon our mind and upon our heart. And whether it is we're looking at who you are over a lifetime, or whether it is we're looking upon you, who you are to us in this moment, we have these many portraits of you, for you have revealed who you are and how you work in our lives. And certainly, O God, through the words and prayers and hopes of the one who wrote this psalm so long ago, we imagine you as a refuge. And indeed, O God, there are some of us today for whom we need this very refuge. For we are anxious. For we might be afraid. For we may be weary. Or we may be grieving. And we need that sacred space near to you. To know that we are with you. That we can trust you. that indeed you are our salvation. And Lord, just as easily we can imagine our friends, our family, our neighbors, we can imagine those in our community, those around the world who need that same refuge, who need to be reminded that you are in control, that you are still doing a good thing. And so, Lord, breathe that very notion in us as a church. May we embody you as a refuge to one another and to a still needing and hungry world around us. We pray this, O God, in the very name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As you are able for our closing hymn, I invite you to stand. We will be singing By Gracious Powers, found on page 517 of our hymnal or on the screen in front of you. We will be singing verses 1 and 4 this morning. Verses 1 and 4. So, even if I haven't grown less awkward, I'm still a little broader than I used to be back as a freshman in high school. But I still appreciate my older brother, Michael. I'm not poking bullies anymore. But I still need refuge from time to time. And he's still there. And it feels good. Because yes, he holds me accountable. But at the same time, he's there. And I just wonder what it would be to be a faith community that is a refuge for one another, for those not yet here, for those who are tired, for those who need hope, for those who are looking for salvation. May we find that refuge in God, and may we be that refuge for others. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.